Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. November 17th, 2013. Welcome to Ever Beyond. This is Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and No Borders Radio. Well, nice and quiet. I got everything sorted. Hopefully I'm coming across the airwaves. Yes, I've got the right button pressed in. My mic's working. Everything's good. The internet connection is good. Okay, so now what we need to do is pray for our guests to remain on the air while they weather tornadoes over there on the other side of the pond, on your side of the pond, most people's side of the pond. My guests tonight are Bonnie and John Mitchell, and we're going to be talking about some really crazy stuff, which is right up my street, of course. We're going to be talking initially about television sigil magic. Now, what does that mean? What's a sigil, and how does it get on TV? Greetings, Bonnie and John.
Thank you.
Greetings, Jay.
Thank you. It's lovely to... I had a little conversation with you the other day, and we kind of, you know, got a sense of where everybody's coming from. So really, you can kind of dive straight in. Our audience are very well up on many of the things that you've been talking about in our conversations and in your shows, but your approach really ties it together for me, and that's why, you know, I heard your interview on Janice Barcelo's program, and it just, that I thought, I've got to have these guys on soon, you know? And you know, I've noticed you've been on various other stations in the last week as well, so enjoying a good bit of exposure. So welcome to Ever Beyond and Wolf Spirit Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we'll just dive right in then. Basically, yeah, what we discovered, we believe, is the most powerful and widely used mind control on the planet to date. And we have made a documentary that we'd like everybody to see called Global Epidemic Exposed, Television Sigil Magic, and that's at awakenvideo.org. So that everybody can get a real hands-on idea of what we're talking about here in this interview. essentially, what we've dubbed these is mnemonic circles, and we're going to get into it. And our approach to explain what exactly is going on, we have to take from several different areas and kind of bring it all together. And the way we like to begin is Bonnie would give just a brief history. I know you've said that your audience is well-educated, so they'll all get this, but we want to make sure that everybody understands that from beginning a long time ago, back in the 20s even, as Bonnie will discuss, television from the get-go has always been a device for mind control. In other words, it's always been a weapon. And so if Bonnie wants to start off, we'll begin with the history.
Sure. Yes, well, the first television that was introduced to the public was the mechanical television. That was in the 1920s. And the mechanical television was this really huge wooden box with a tiny little 3-inch screen. So a person would have to get pretty close to this little screen to see the image in there. And what they would see was a flickering light, like an orange glow that would flicker. And it pulsed 18 times in 1 second. Now imagine having 18 pictures in front of you, and you have to look at each picture and understand what's going on in each picture, but you've only got 1 second to do that. Well, your conscious mind really can't do that. It's your subconscious that does it. Your conscious mind kind of steps aside, and your subconscious just takes all the data in to save it for later. So the very first TV that came out was already putting people into this kind of unconscious trance state. Well, then the TV went on to Nazi Germany to be highly developed there. In 1936, they showed the Olympic Games to 150,000 Germans in Berlin on widescreen TVs, 40-inch widescreen TVs, and that is pretty huge for 1936. Now, through Project Paperclip after World War II, a lot of these Nazi scientists came over to the United States, and they really continued their research over here. So the mind control research is ongoing. Now, when William Crookes invented the cathode ray tube, his intention was to be able to communicate with the spirit world with this device. William Crookes was into spiritualism and seances and table boarding, and he was president of the Society for Psychical Research in Great Britain, and he was also a member of the Golden Dawn. And he created the cathode ray tube. He believed that the electrons that came out of the cathode ray could be manipulated by spirits. And so by the time these electrons would reach the phosphorescent screen of the TV, he hoped to be receiving a message in that from the spirit world. And Tesla had a device that he created, which was called the Tesla scope. And he was speaking to beings that he believed were from other planets. And in 1928, Thomas Edison was creating a spirit phone, which he never did complete. But his intention was to make this technological device which could communicate with spirits. So not too long after the TV came out and we had the radio, something called ITC was developed. And ITC is instrumental transcommunication. People started experimenting with their televisions and radios to receive messages from the spirit world. And they kept working on this, and they still do it today. And there are ITC laboratories in Europe where they continue this research, and they claim to be speaking to the astral plane on a daily basis with their television sets. So it's definitely not unheard of that this technology, the television, can be used to speak with spirits. Now, what the TV does when you sit down in front of it, the first thing that happens is your brain waves start to change. They go from a beta wave to an alpha wave. A beta wave is normal waking consciousness when you are alert, and an alpha wave is a meditative state. Although when you're watching TV, you're not really meditating, it's more like a forced trance state. They use these programmers who program the television programs. They use a rapid succession of scene changes to overwhelm the conscious mind. Now, it used to be years ago, in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, that the storyline, you could follow it pretty much. It was pretty slow from one scene to another. But today, in the movies and the television programs, the scene changes are very fast, and this is clearly too much for the conscious mind to handle. So all of this information goes straight into the subconscious. And of course, the subconscious, it does not have the capability to rationalize or figure out logically what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. It just takes everything in, so you're being programmed with that information. Also, the imagery that they use on the television, by using simple symbols and metaphors, they can actually program the subconscious mind, because this is what the subconscious mind actually understands. Symbols and sigils, of course. And also the sound waves they use, harmonic frequencies. And these sound waves can actually manipulate your neuron pathways to embed detailed commands into your subconscious mind. And these commands can be triggered later by certain key words. In other words, a human can be programmed to react a certain way when they hear a code word that triggers their subconscious mind. I'm sure everybody's seen examples of a hypnotist putting someone under, and they will tell them, just simply say, the next time you hear the word chicken, you will cluck like a chicken, or something like that. And so when they come up out of this unconscious state, they don't remember any of that, because their conscious mind and their subconscious mind are just two different parts of the brain. So consciously, they don't know. And then when they hear the word chicken, oh, they start clucking like a chicken. So they've been programmed. So the television can actually do these things to your mind. If you sit in front of it long enough, you go deeper and deeper and deeper into deeper subconscious states, and you're having very deep subconscious programming. I also want to say that in 1977, there was a United States Senate hearing on the CIA and MKUltra. The Senate discovered that CIA had this secret program called MKUltra, and it was all about mind control and controlling human behavior. They had 144 projects, and seven of them were dedicated to hypnosis. And today, anybody can go online on the internet and search for mind control patents. And these are granted through the U.S. Patent Office. And I have one in particular that I want to read to you, which is specifically about the television. It is called Nervous System Manipulation by Electromagnetic Fields from Monitors, U.S. Patent Number 6506148, granted in 2003. Physiological effects have been observed in a human subject in response to stimulation of the skin with weak electromagnetic fields that are pulsed with certain frequencies near 1/2 hertz or 2.4 hertz, such as to excite a sensory resonance. Many computer monitors and TV sets, when displaying pulsed images, emit pulsed electromagnetic fields of sufficient amplitudes to cause such excitation. It is therefore possible to manipulate the nervous system of a subject by pulsing images displayed on a nearby computer monitor or TV set. For the latter, the image pulsing may be embedded in the program material, or it may be overlaid.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, we expected
a lot of that.
Yeah, we expected that, and I was just playing That's All Right, Mama, so that was all right. So everything's good. So, Bonnie, you're talking about, just after talking about 144 MK projects. Do you rewind, go from about there.
Did you hear the patent that I just read?
No, we missed that.
Okay. Well, there's a patent that I wanted to read to you because it's directly related to the television and what they're doing with that and frequency. This patent is called Nervous System Manipulation by Electromagnetic Fields from Monitors. It is U.S. Patent Number 6506148, granted in 2003. And by the way, anybody can go online and they can look up mind control patents and they can find these. Physiological effects have been observed in a human subject in response to stimulation of the skin with weak electromagnetic fields that are pulsed with certain frequencies near 1/2 hertz or 2.4 hertz, such as to excite a sensory resonance. Many computer monitors and TV sets, when displaying pulsed images, emit pulsed electromagnetic fields of sufficient amplitudes to cause such excitation. It is therefore possible to manipulate the nervous system of a subject by pulsing images displayed on a nearby computer monitor or TV set. For the latter, the image pulsing may be embedded in the program material, or it may be overlaid by modulating a video stream. So they are using frequency as a weapon. Now, this patent was granted to a man named Hendrikus Loo. And Hendrikus has a nickname, and that is Who. So he's also known as Who Loo. Well, in 2008, WhoLoo.com became available on the Internet. And this was backed by the U.S. military and intelligence agencies. And they claim that they backed this WhoLoo.com because they wanted their soldiers all around the world to be able to watch their favorite television programs. So on WhoLoo.com, anybody can go for free, and they can watch streaming videos of their favorite television programs. And most likely, this technology is pulsing frequencies out of the monitor. And this is available in the United States and Japan, and also at any U.S. military base around the world. So they are using frequency as a weapon. And now, John, would you like to describe the mnemonics that they're using on
yeah.
TV?
Okay, so, you know, those patents are, and there's a whole bunch out there, and like Bonnie said, everybody can look them up. What they're saying is it's not just the imagery that you're seeing on the television. Like, we're all used to the idea of subliminal messages. I think the latest one I saw like that was McDonald's put some little one frame in some video or something, and people are, it's almost disinformation when they do that, because I think they're trying to keep people thinking of mind control types of situations in that type of low ancient form of doing it, with just putting the one frame of a picture in there. So this is way more high tech than that. This is the actual mechanics of the device itself, and it's not it's anything like this patent she just read is anything with a monitor. So it's not just a television; it's also your laptop, your home computer, your iPod, your Kindle, smartphone. Basically, anything that has a screen on it, they can use the technology inside. And Bonnie will get more into this, but actually, to even influence your DNA. And Bonnie, you know, on her next segment, she's going to get into more of that. For now, though, and I do like to say that, you know, I always say this in all of our interviews, that we're really not doing this as a form of entertainment for anybody. We are using our energy to try to get this message out to all of our brothers and sisters, because this is a massive alert to everybody that this mind control is active. And it is influencing everybody to the point that it's very mysterious to Bonnie and I that so many people could be under the influence of this, that virtually nobody, not virtually, seriously, nobody that we're aware of except for the two of us are discussing this form of mind control out there and trying to warn people about it. So that's a real testament to how powerful this is, I think. Just briefly, a description for the point of this interview and your listeners out there of what we're talking about. We're calling them mnemonic circles, and what they look like is basically they are semicircles in a circular pattern, and they move in opposing directions. We have noticed through researching lots and lots and lots of these that they are either very similar or even identical to each other in the way that the circles move. So that tells us that it's the actual movement of the mnemonic itself is for some type of perhaps an activation of the subconscious mind, but it is definitely a tool that's being purposefully used. There's no mistake that all of these are moving in such similar or identical patterns. Some of the things that we're noticing with the mnemonic circles are that they contain, some of them, contain binary code, which is similar to the QR code. And on a more spiritual level, and for the benefit of your audience out there, the QR code happens to use an algorithm. The algorithm that reads the actual code is called Reed Solomon. And that happens to be because of a doctor, R-E-E-D, and a Dr. Solomon, we find it pretty interesting that it's called Reed Solomon. We are also finding a countdown and count up methods being used in the center. In the center of the mnemonic, they'll have numbers running up and down, which we know through research is to bring people in and out of hypnotic states quickly in succession. And this actually is a well-known form of inducing a very strong trance in the viewer slash victim. And of course, we're also noticing symbols and sigils inside of these that is pretty big news, and we'll get into that next so that people can understand how powerful this actual dark magic is. And just one more reminder that, you know, for everybody to be able to see the mnemonics and understand exactly what we're talking about throughout this interview, we really encourage everybody to watch the video Global Epidemic Exposed Television Sigil Magic that can be found at awakenvideo.org, and we also have a copy on youtube.com. And now on to, as I said, we have to take a lot of information from different points and bring it all together to paint the entire picture of what's happening here. So what I'll go into next is sigil magic, a brief explanation of that, and how language is actually sigil magic and how powerful this is, and it can be used for good or evil, but what we're talking about here is what the dark magicians are doing with it. And I'd like to start off by saying that there is a really huge piece of information that was released earlier this year by six people who, five of them are interested in the Egyptian ruins and investigating that, and the other fella is basically based in South America and doing the similar work with the Peruvian sites. And to give them credit, their names are Dr. Stephen Mailer, Chris Dunn, Gary Evans, Brian Forrester is the Peruvian expert, Yusef Oyen, and an artist who goes by just her first name, Patricia. And they came forward and released this very important and powerful information, which is that their findings are that the most ancient ruins that they have ever found on this earth have a couple things in common. First of all, the most ancient ruins on earth are known to be built the most precisely. And we're saying that things that are older than the pyramids in Egypt. So even the pyramids in Egypt aren't built as precisely as these very ancient monolithic ruins that they're investigating. So we have evidence there that, you know, there's a decline in mankind's ability to build things. But the most interesting thing I find is that on these most ancient monolithic sites, these ruins, there is no hieroglyphs, which is to strongly suggest that at a period of time when earthlings could build things much better than anything that came after that, they also had no language. And it goes a long way in explaining how language runs side by side, parallel with the descent of consciousness of mankind to the point where we are right now. And so I'll get into the sigil magic and just a real elementary brief explanation of that and try to tie some of this together for everybody. Essentially, a sigil is any shape or form that the magician who's practicing the sigil magic wants to create. And it can be, for instance, you could make a piece of jewelry out of wire in a certain shape, and that could be your sigil. Or you could draw these things, which is more typical, to draw your sigil on a piece of paper. And then the magician, through various techniques, can induce power into that sigil and give that sigil a particular meaning. And it can be just for that magician, and that's probably most typically how it's done. However, if you were to take that same sigil and put it out into the public eye where the masses can all see it, and you let those masses know what it means, what that sigil means, then they give it power, and they can give it an awful lot of power. And just as an example of that, I would ask your audience who's listening to take their right index finger and just put it in the air, and make a swoosh symbol in the air. Just make a swoosh symbol. And by doing that, probably about 80 to 90% of your listeners thought of the word Nike. And that is sort of a testament to how powerful that is. And certainly anybody who sees the Nike swoosh symbol, even without the word Nike being anywhere around there, you instantly think of the word Nike, because that is a sigil, and it's been put out into the public domain, and everybody has the same idea of what it means, and everybody gives it power. So to tie sigil magic into language now, essentially all languages, all written languages on the planet are sigil magic. And we'll, since we're all speaking English here, we'll take the English alphabet as our example. And there's 26 letters or sigils inside of the English alphabet. Each letter has a particular shape and a particular frequency that we pronounce it with. Now, all the little children are all sent to the institution that we call school at a very young age, and they're all taught to spell with these sigils. So all the magical language is actually right there for people to kind of get a different idea about where we are and what's been going on. Now, I explained that what a sigil is, and I've tied that into the alphabet and how the 26 sigils of the alphabet are actually sigil magic. But people may ask, well, what proof is there that there's actually any power? You keep saying magic, magic, magic. You know, where's the proof that there's some power in this? And thankfully, we live in such a wonderful time now where there's so many things going on. You can find out what's happening, even scientifically now, and that sigils and the English language actually has this power. I always point to the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto in Japan, and many people are familiar with him now. It's really mainstream, his work, but I'm trying to make a little light switch click on for everybody so that they can comprehend what this really means. Dr. Masaru Emoto's work involves taking, let's say, two beakers of pure water, and on one beaker you write the sigil hate across it, and on the other beaker you write the sigil love across it, and you take those beakers and put them in separate places and let them sit there for a amount of time, and then you go back and you freeze that water and look at it under a microscope. And what's very interesting is that repeatedly, that is to say, no matter how many times you do this experiment, it will result in similar experiences. And that's the love water under a microscope has a very beautiful crystalline form, similar to snowflakes, and looks really nice. And the water that had the sigil hate on it under a microscope looks basically like swamp water, muddy, and you know, certainly nothing you'd want to drink. It's really nasty. And so, as I've said, this is definite physical and documented proof that these sigils have power. I also will give another reference, which is Dr. Ibrahim Karim from Egypt, and who is practicing his what he calls a new science, which is actually the ancient science of sigil magic. And he's using these symbols, placing them inside of various places, such as he's done fleets of taxi cabs, inside of homes, offices. He's done an entire town. And by using the sigil magic, he is changing the energy, which is measurable in the areas that he affects. And his website, incidentally, is biogeometry.com, and you can look at all his work there. So I hope that that's a fairly, that's very fast and elementary explanation of all this stuff, but I hope that it's tying some things together for people, and I hope that people will go and investigate this even more and learn more about magic and understand that the truth is that everything actually is magic. That is the truth. Science has done a poor job, in my opinion, of trying to explain the magic, but, you know, they can't even explain most of what's going on in reality. What's happened is that in modern, especially Western society, people have been duped into believing that magic is not anything but a fiction. Magic is Disney World or, you know, the movies. And at the same time, they have been mind-controlled into, and which we're going to get into this very heavily in the next part here, they've been mind-controlled into participating and actually manifesting the dark reality that these dark magicians want. So we're going to do a better job here as we go along of explaining exactly what I mean by that. Bonnie's going to talk now about an even more ancient form of sigil magic, which comes to us from King Solomon.
King Solomon's Mines.
Yes.
King Solomon's Temple.
Yeah, and King Solomon. I mean, he was not exactly, you know, not necessarily a really nice guy.
No.
No, he liked to think that he wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, I'm King Solomon. Look at all my palace. Look at my gold. Look at my women. Look at my, you know, what does that mean? He was a greedy womanizer, you know, as a very avaricious kind of guy. And so now you're going to tell me that he used black magic to make all this happen.
Dark magic. That's, you know, that came up in our last interview, and I know we have time, so I would just like
yeah,
to just
yeah, yeah, really. I mean, the bringing of light to the dark magic practices of the elites of the world is one of the reasons that I have this program, is to bring these things to light. And it's like, it's not for most people, but we actually have a kind of growing audience. So it's, you know, week by week, day by day.
That's great. And just, you know, to explain, too, the reason why, you know, Bonnie and I are both magicians ourselves, and a big portion of what's going on is word magic, and a lot of it is being used against people. So that's just something like I said on our last interview, I was able to clarify it, too. So it's really great to have the opportunity. But the reason why we don't say black magic is because the word black is actually one of those word magic words that's used against people, where you have everything negative called black. You have, you know, blackouts, blackball somebody, you know, the list, there's a long list of these things. And then people are actually so, we're so mesmerized by this illusion that we're in a place now where there's some people who allow themselves to be called by a color like that. So we have all these negative innuendos about the word black, and then we also call black people, you know, and that's actually a great insult. So that's why we don't use that black word. Maybe I, that might have been too lengthy of an explanation,
dark,
but yeah.
It's light magic and it's dark.
Right.
Okay, we've used dark. Like, I feel like I'm getting dark chocolate, you know.
What?
Dark magic.
Sounds good on that mic.
Yeah. Worth every penny. Anyway, so, King Solomon, that's right. He had these, so he had 1,000 women, so he says, you know, over the lifetime at one snapshot moment, you know, I don't know. But but he was like a kind of, he was drawing things together. I mean, before King Solomon, there seems to be nothing. And then suddenly, boom, there's this whole kingdom and all this palace and the jewels and the gold and, you know, horses and sheep and camels and, you know. Did he use black magic to accomplish all this, and who were his mentors in that?
Well, he claims that God was his mentor, and he claims that God actually gave him 72 names of spirits or demons, and I don't really know which God he's referring to, but all the spirits are from hell, so they are demons.
That's a good question, too. Which God? Because we, you know, we really have to ask ourselves that. You know, who is the real creator? Who is the so-called God of the Bible, who seems to be kind of partially psychopathic, you know?
Partially?
Yeah.
At least partially. Exploded.
Be nice.
Just trying to be nice.
Let's be nice to the psychopaths evening.
That's right.
So anyway, King Solomon was a magician, and he wrote a group of magical books or magical grimoires, and they're called the Key of Solomon. And many magicians around the world, they know about King Solomon and his magic, and some people follow this magic. They actually go by the book, and this magic has to be performed in the right hour, on the right day, the right time of the year, the correct phase of the moon, the planets have to be in the right places, and everything. Well, according to Fritz Springmeier and Cisco Wheeler, who did a great deal of research into the Illuminati satanic families and the dark magic that they perform, these dark magicians actually have required reading, and the Key of Solomon is part of their required reading. So they do actually use this, you know, as part of their magical guide. Now, one of the books in particular is called The Lesser Key of Solomon Goetia. And this describes the 72 spirits or demons which were given to Solomon by God. And in the Key of Solomon, it says, the spirits of the Goetia are portions of the human brain. Their seals, therefore, represent methods of stimulating or regulating those particular spots through the eye. The names of God, or the names of these 72 demons, are vibrations calculated to establish control of the human brain. So, according to Solomon and magicians who go by this book, these demons actually control the human brain. And they do this when somebody's watching TV, this information goes into their subconscious mind through their eyes, just like it says in the book. And each of these demons actually has a sigil. So part of what they do in these mnemonic circles is they have embedded information, including sigils, and it's very highly likely, I would say, that some of these 72 demons and their sigils are being used, are being embedded into the subconscious mind and being used to control the subconscious mind. Now, Solomon wasn't the only one who talked about these 72 spirits. In fact, there's something called the Shemhal Mefarash, which is a Hebrew word. It's derived from Bible code. They took three verses from the Bible, they came up with the Shemhal Mefarash, and included in that are 72 spirits. And also, the Church of Satan has taken the name and turned it into Shemhamphorash, and they use the same 72 demons. So magicians around the world, Kabbalists, Hermeticists, Satanists, they all know about these 72 names. So why are they so important that everybody's using this? It's because these magicians believe that the 72 spirits control the human brain, and not only that, but they are also the key to creation and all manifestation. So they use them widely. Now, part of the magic of Solomon is to make a magic pentacle, which is basically a circle within a circle with embedded information in it and sigils. It's very, very similar to the mnemonic circles on TV. In fact, that's basically how we first discovered it was, well, John and I don't watch TV, but we were out somewhere, probably at a relative's house, and we saw these spinning circles come on the TV, and I said, oh my God, that's Solomon's key, because I recognize it for the pictures in the book. So these demons are in a hierarchy, very similar to the military. There are king demons of hell, there are princes, there are dukes, earls, marquises, knights, and soldiers, and each one of them is represented by a different planet. Or a different metal, which corresponds to a certain color. Now, back in Solomon's day, he, of course, had all the gold and silver and copper that he wanted, and he could make these magical pentacles out of actual gold. Today, if a magician doesn't have the gold, they simply use the correct color. So, if you're looking at these mnemonic circles on TV, and you see one that has gold rings, there's a possibility that they are using the demonic energy of one of the king demons from hell.
Which we've actually seen.
Yes. So. We actually have seen. We have one of those on our documentary that we made.
Right. It's called Worst of the Worst. The actual show is on ESPN. It's the Not Top 10. And that's a real good one that we have on that documentary.
Yeah. On the Sports Channel, they have a lot of these mnemonic circles. And we noticed that they are heavily used in the news programs. And almost every news program, it seems like, they have mnemonic circles in the intro to the news program. And they'll have a count up and a count down, which brings you in and out of a state of hypnosis. And the more they do this, bringing you in and out of this state, the deeper you go.
Right. And all the wording, once again, the magical wording is there. It is a program. You watch it on a channel. They channel it to you. They broadcast it to you. So, you know, it's hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.
Hidden in plain sight things that we're talking about.
Totally.
Some of this.
I was just going to say, you know, you just skipped over the word broadcast, as in cast a spell broadly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a subject that various of us are totally into. My co-host for another show, Katie Glanty, and Tracy Kennedy are just, like, we're just soaking all this up. It's really good. Thank you very much. There was one other thought that came to my mind, Bonnie. If we go back to the Keys of Solomon, mm-hmm. in my mind, I'm brought to I call them chymoglyphs, cymoglyphs. They're the patterns made by sound if you vibrate a plate with a frequency.
Cymatics,
yeah.
Yeah, chymatic. So, you say that they're vibrations, right? So, are they actual chymoglyphs? The Keys to Solomon, are they like a stylized version of a chymoglyph, of a frequency
pattern? Yeah, I would
pattern?
Say so.
I think so. It's more like you're calling them chymoglyphs, of a thought form, because that's what it is. It's the magician's thought, which he creates a shape for and puts that thought or that intention into it. So you're onto something there. I wouldn't call it a particular frequency as much as I would call it that particular magician's thought form.
Okay.
It's still
frequency. There's still a frequency there, isn't there, Bonnie?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is frequency. I mean, everything vibrates. Everything has a vibrational frequency, and words are frequencies. You know?
That's right. Yeah, that's one of the things we've done to heal ourselves, and we'll get into that later on. With this, but if you truly want to practice good magic and have a good life, that's one of the things you learn to do. And I come from a background in the U.S. Navy, and actually, technically, I'm still a United States Merchant Marine. And trust me, living out on those ships, you know, there's a lot of foul language. They don't get the word curse like a sailor for no reason. So I've had to overcome that in my life, and that is a really big part that people don't understand. It's a change that you can make for yourself in your own life, but they do call it cursing for a reason. And indeed, if someone wants to be wise, they would choose their words carefully and certainly not curse themselves.
Yeah. Well, scientists know now that sound frequencies or harmonics, they can actually affect your DNA. Scientists in Russia, they had this experiment in their lab. They had a frog embryo and a salamander embryo, and they measured the sound of the salamander, and they turned it into a sound wave, and they had a laser light. They embedded the sound wave into the light somehow, and they shone this light onto the frog embryo. Well, the frog turned into a salamander simply from this frequency. It changed the genetic structure. So things, frequencies that they're pulsing out of the television could also be affecting our DNA, not only programming our subconscious minds, but really changing us genetically. And there's a book by Jonathan Goldman called The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing. And he says, sound is not just an energy that enters our ears and our brains, allowing us to experience the sensation of hearing. It also has the ability to go into our cellular structure and rearrange our molecules.
Yeah.
So it's very powerful. Words are powerful, all frequencies.
Yeah. So we have a means of getting to a particular frequency by, I mean, it's like musical, it's almost like a musical notation that has 72 different notes on their scale. I wonder if it would, yeah, that would be an interesting project for anybody who's interested in magic at all, to take the 72, try and work out what the frequencies are. And you know, they say that the Hebrew characters are flaming, you know, that they're living things. So yeah, I mean, everything's conscious.
That's right. We're actually seeing some of the Hebrew characters in the mnemonics as well. So it definitely raises an eye there. Mm. So to continue to tie this together, there's so much here. It's a lot to take in, I know. But if you kind of can run with this information that we're initially giving you, you'll end up coming to the same conclusion that we have.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of our audience are, you know, we're there with you.
That's great.
As I said, we're well up to speed on a lot of these things. We are totally cool with frequency healing. We've had several guests who talk about this. Shari Edwards, have you heard of Shari Edwards?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're fully clued up on what sound and frequencies can do.
Wonderful. Where we're going to go next with this is trauma-based mind control.
And again, we're run by Dave Corso, who's a what he calls a graduate of Project Talent.
Okay.
So we're very up to speed on Dr. Green and his exploits.
Okay, very good.
All right, so just so we can, you know, really get to some...
Yeah, really get to help. Some,
yeah.
Yeah,
go
I'll
on.
Try to brush over the elementary stuff. Then,
yeah,
but,
we're on advanced class here.
Good deal. Okay, so what we found is part of our research has gone into looking into these folks who have come forward from the Illuminati Satanic Network and exposed what happened to them through... what you know as, you know, monarch trauma-based mind control. And it's, for instance, Jay Parker, who we're friends with now, and we met him at the Free Your Mind conference back in April, and he spoke about spin programming and how his parents would, they had a mechanical spinning device, and also the other parents in this satanic town that he was brought up in, the other parents also, they all had these mechanical spinning devices that they would use against their children to put them in a trance state right before they would do the ritual trauma-based mind control against them. And that goes right in line, the spinning device, with what we're seeing in the mnemonics, because indeed it's also a spinning device that's absolutely being used to put the viewer slash victim into a trance state. And so it goes right in line with that. And what we're actually finding is that the basically the way human beings are being raised, especially in the Western world, really mimics the upbringing of a trauma-based mind control victim within the Illuminati. Sex, as you know, sex and violence is just off the charts now in mainstream, just on regular daytime television even. And so what's happening is these people who are being raised with the television are being programmed to what's called dissociate sex and violence and compartmentalize that and normalize that in their life, which is why they have to keep turning up the volume on the sex and the violence to the point where we are now, and I'm sure beyond. And what they're essentially doing is through... school and the way that people are brought up, and especially Western society, they, through the schooling, they subdue the right hemisphere of the brain, the creative side, and at the same time, the vaccines and the poison in the foods calcifies the pineal gland, and also we have the dissociation of sex and violence happening all inside these same, you know, the same human beings. So they're all going through, and this is, I'm not talking about just the Illuminati families. I'm talking about everybody who is raised in a household with a television set in it, and who goes to attends school, which is everybody, just about. So this is what's happening. It's a multifaceted mind control technique that's being deployed, and everything is integral in this, from the chemtrails to the GMO food, and especially this epidemic that we're trying to expose through the mass media. They have people chemically stupefied and dumbed down through, you know, what passes for schooling these days. And at the same time, they have everybody literally addicted to the mass media, and they're using the various technologies that Bonnie and I are trying to alert everybody to not only hypnotize and trance out the viewer slash victim, but to control them. And the control part happens through the sigil magic, as well as what they are telling you is programming, the programs that you watch. The sex and the violence all plays a part in everybody's life who exposes themselves to that. And it's creating devastating effects, as you all are well aware, on the overall global society of human beings. They're essentially, like I said before, they've tricked basically everybody, all of the masses, into believing that magic is not real, that the human being does not have the power to create, that this is a physical reality, not spiritual, and also they've subdued them and mind controlled them into this mass media that is causing these reality creators, these human beings, to manifest the dark reality of the Illuminati. And as I'm trying to say here, this lines right up. Everything that we're seeing happening on TV and mainstream media today is I can't even say subtler form, but it's another form of exactly what people like Jay Parker and many others, Bryce Taylor and Arizona Wilder, and, you know, this has been going on for decades, these people coming forward from these mind control situations and exposing it for what it is. So I think Bonnie has some more material to get into the subconscious mind.
Yeah.
So, but before we do that, we're coming up to the top of the hour, and if anybody would like to recharge their cups of tea, etc., it's an absolutely fascinating conversation. Thank you very much, Bonnie and John. We're together today with Bonnie and John Mitchell. This is Ever Beyond Radio on Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders Radio. Please, if you would like to donate to the cause, everybody does this for absolutely free, but we still need to pay for our servers. I also do private readings, and I'm sure that Bonnie and John Mitchell also will give private consultations, and I think we all need to earn a bob or two as well. So I'm going to take a break now. In line with the situation over in Tornado Alley, it seems to be there tonight anyway, this is the Scorpions with Wind of Change. Oh, he's such a bad pun, man. Scorpions there with the Wind of Change. How's the wind doing, friends?
It is blowing.
It's blowing, but it's not going to blow us to Ever Beyond.
Yeah, and our lights are flickering.
Really? Oh, excellent. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll have a piece of music queued up just in case. Actually, I'll put that Elvis thing on there. There we go. So I interrupted you, Bonnie, just before the break. So if you've still got that thread between your fingers, we can take up the weaving again.
Okay, I wanted to say something about the subconscious mind and how powerful it is. You know, our subconscious mind actually controls, well, at least 90% of everything that happens in our bodies. and it regulates our five senses as well. So our perception of our reality is actually coming from the subconscious, and everything that we've taken in to our subconscious mind since we were born. And you know, little kids, I think up until the age of about 6, they're actually in a hypnagogic state, which means they're making the transition from the spirit world to the physical world. And they're in kind of a trance state while... And to sit a child in front of a television and have their subconscious mind programs...
You know, I think that last one was our end. Anyway...
okay.
Now, I did, it was, you started talking about TV, and then it went hypnagogic.
Okay, the hypnagogic state. Yes, a child is in a hypnagogic state up until about 6 or 7 years of age, which means that they're trying to make the transition from the spirit world to the physical world, and they're just figuring everything out about this world. They're just learning how to live here. So... it's really terrible to put a child in front of a television set, you know, to let the TV be the babysitter. And this child is just having their subconscious mind programmed. And this is what the information that they're going to depend on for the rest of their lives. This is really, you know, creating their life. Because your subconscious mind controls your perceptions of reality. When your conscious mind has a question about something, it goes to the subconscious for the answer. So if you're spending time sitting in front of the television, you are having your subconscious mind programmed in many different ways. And you end up manifesting what they've programmed you with. So these dark magicians, you know, what they want is a fear-based reality. And the things that you see on TV and in the movies and in the video games, they're all fear-based. They're all low-level emotions, low-level vibrational frequencies. And this is what people are being programmed with. And in turn, their subconscious minds end up manifesting this. And there is such a thing as predictive programming. And they do this all the time. I mean, have you ever wondered why you'll see something happen in a movie and then a couple years later it happens in real life? It's because everybody's manifesting it. So that's how powerful the subconscious mind is. And it's a big reason to not watch television.
Right. So what we'd like to talk about next is what you can do to make yourself healthy. And, you know, there's a reason why you've got the two of us here talking with you today, Jay, about all this mind control and what's going on, and it really relates to the decisions that we made to heal ourselves and to get away from all this stuff and to raise our own vibration and our own consciousness to the point where we could see these things and now raise the alarm for all of our brothers and sisters. So we'd like to share that information and talk about some of the things we've done.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Yeah. Well, what you want to do is, you know, each of us have our own vibrational frequency, and that's like our unique fingerprint. And this is our personal resonance. In order to protect this, we have to not allow harmful frequencies into our energy field. So for the past 5 years, John and I... well, we stopped watching television about 5 years ago, at least 5 years ago. We got rid of our TVs. We also got rid of our cell phones because of the radio frequency dangers. And also the cordless phones, which are just as bad as cell phones. So now we just use a regular old-fashioned landline. And when we're on the computer, we limit our time on the computer, and we keep the monitor as far away from us as possible because we're aware that frequencies are pulsing, electromagnetic frequencies are pulsing out of it into our energy field. So we keep it back as far away as possible. We also do not eat genetically modified food.
Right.
And I'm aware that in some countries, GMO has been banned, and that is wonderful.
If I could just mention something too, it's known now, just so people understand, because once upon a time, we didn't think that the GMO was so serious either. We didn't get it. So I'd like to share this, that they now know, scientifically speaking, that the RNA, and RNA is what tells your DNA what to do. The RNA from the foreign gene that's not part of the food kingdom, but, you know, like, let's say the BH corn, for instance, they take a gene from the virus, the BH virus. That RNA from that BH virus gene that's in the corn survives digestion. They know that. And what it does is it attaches to the human organs and makes the human DNA inside your body behave in non-human ways, which is to say, the more GMO food a human being eats, the less human they become. And that's a scientific fact now that people can research for themselves.
You know, that's so funny, that because that's how people feel. It's a kind of intuitive feeling that if I eat that stuff, I'll turn into one of those.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's our natural response to this whole thing. So, please go on.
Yes.
So, here in the United States, the GMO is terrible. All of the corn is GMO, and all of the soybeans are GMO. So, the grocery stores have all this processed food with either corn or soy in it. Everything's got corn or soy in it. So, everybody is eating GMO. Well, we stopped doing that about 5 years ago. We grow our own food, we have gardens, and in the summertime when we have an abundance of food from our garden, we put some in jars and we can it for the winter. Also, we would never ever get a flu shot, and that is some new fad over here in the United States. You know, it used to be where older people, senior citizens, would get a flu shot, maybe. Some of them did in the autumn. But now it's everybody. It's children and adults and senior citizens. And it's all year long. Everybody's getting the flu shot. We know that the flu shot is full of poison. All the vaccines are. And the vaccines that the children have to get, it's such a huge amount. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what it is, but
it's the last number I saw was 22 for a newborn infant, and the majority of those are vaccines for sexually transmitted diseases.
It's just
which makes
insane.
No sense. Yeah.
And also, we stopped drinking fluoridated water. We have a reverse osmosis filtration system on our sink, and we have well water. So do your best to find a non-fluoridated water supply. And also, we do not brush our teeth with fluoride toothpaste. Fluoride was developed in Nazi Germany to help keep the prisoners subdued. That's where fluoride comes from.
Right.
And another thing we did, which was a pretty big step, a couple of years ago, we decided that we really wanted to protect ourselves from all of the different frequencies flying through the air and going through our bodies. So we built a Faraday cage around our bed, and we sleep in that every night.
Oh, well, yeah, I've seen this on your website. That is absolutely awesome. I love it. It's a wooden construction. You've got kind of pulleys and levers to kind of open and close it. It's like you got a big, big old bedroom there, and in the middle is basically, it's a wooden box with mesh tacked onto the outside, and with ropes and pulleys to open. The lid opens. It opens like a flower. I love it. It's like an orchid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a kind of big flat metal orchid thing. But
right.
It's a Faraday cage. Which is it? Have you got it on the bottom as well?
Yeah, it wraps all the way around. The Faraday cage, of course, came from Michael Faraday back in 1836, so it's really old technology. We also use underneath the bed to store delicate electronics because, you know, the cage also protects from EMP or electromagnetic pulses.
And it grounded with a deep, you know, down outside in the earth? What's your grounding medium?
Right. Right now we are grounding to the ground on the house, which we did check, and if you're going, and it's perfectly fine to do it that way, but if you're gonna do that, you have to, make sure that that third hole or the ground hole, I'm not sure what it looks like in Europe there, but I'm sure one of them.
In the electrical outlet.
In the electrical outlet.
Yeah,
right?
It's the big fat middle pin in Britain.
Okay, there you go. So you make sure and check that for ground. You know, not all houses are wired the same. And you can do that. Or you can run a copper wire out to a copper pole that you just, a grounding pole that you drive in the ground. And either way is sufficient, but you're correct, and it's good that you said that, because you need a place for the energies that it's deflecting to go to, and then send it to ground.
I'll tell you something else. If you did take it to a copper pipe that you hammered into the ground, and you got an iron pipe or a galvanized iron rod, hammered that into the ground, you could get a permanent voltage out of that. That's a battery.
Yep.
So you can actually power your lights.
Sure. You can touch the earth batteries a little bit. It's very interesting. There's some guys out there doing some really cool work, even using the earth and crystals and putting them into lead pipes and bringing them inside as batteries as well.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent ideas. I mean, there's so many things that we can do that has got so much energy in it all around our, in the atmosphere and everywhere. You know, there is no, you know, that's a myth. I mean, what you're talking about is very much along the lines of the path that I've been taking. You know, I've moved into a remote cottage in the midst of very almost nowhere. And I like it that way. And I'm growing my vegetables and running LED lights and burning wood stoves and using alternative currencies. And, you know, it's very heartening, because I'm meeting and talking to people on my show week by week who are doing exactly the same thing as what I'm doing. And, you know, it's like we're all saying, hi, we're all prepared now. Let's take this one the next step. So,
And with the Faraday cage, I'd just like to say briefly, we always, anything we do that's positive for us, the first thing that we want to do is share it with everybody. So we're trying to find these different medias to do that through, such as your show, which this has been really great. We're really enjoying this. And what we're doing for the Faraday cage is we're going to start a Kickstarter project. Bonnie's already working on the video. And as soon as we get that up and running, we will have some type of post on awakenvideo.org to alert people to that. But what we want to do is, as long as we get funded for this project, we want to build an even better Faraday cage. We're going to use some different techniques. We're going to also use copper mesh, which is much better than the mesh we used on their first one. And we're going to film it all, every step of the way, and of course open source the plans and the video and all that at the end of it, so that we can share that with everybody. And the thing is that we are not carpenters, okay, but we were able to build this thing, and so that should help people. You know, if you can just use a few simple tools, you can build one of these. And so thanks for letting me share that. And did you have anything else, you know?
I just wanted to mention the documentary we just saw called Grounding.
Yeah.
And it's called Grounding, and it's about a town in Alaska where basically the whole town got in on this, and they have healed themselves. Like, anybody who was sick is not sick anymore. They went outside with their shoes off and connected with the earth. Like I was saying, everybody has their own vibrational frequency, and so does the earth. The earth has an average frequency of 7.83 hertz. It's also called the Schumann resonance. But if you go outside, you can actually, if you make contact with the dirt, you will get electrons coming up from the earth that will go into your body. Mm-hmm. And then when your body is vibrating in harmony with the earth, well, then that's the perfect, you know, that's the ideal. That's when you're really healthy. And it's also called earthing.
Right. That's part of the mind control, too. And once again, all the words are there. All the word magic is there. They call the bottom of your feet your soul, because that should give anybody who's actually conscious a big hint, you know, to make contact with your soul against the earth that you came from. And then, of course, what do we have on the bottom of our shoes but rubber soles. So they, you know, the terminology is right there, and that's on purpose. They, in Western world especially, toddlers get, you know, shoes strapped to their feet, and that's about it. You're cut off from the earth for the majority of your lifetime. And this is also something that we've recently discovered that's a really healthy and easy thing to do. There's you know, nothing complicated about it.
There was a gentleman from the Findhorn Foundation who said to me, the soil is the soul.
Yeah.
You know, and just to kind of connect, hang on, when we're talking about worshipping your ancients, it's not, it's about the piece of earth that you're standing on is conscious, and that's what we call a god, that consciousness.
Right.
And by standing on your own 2 feet on bare ground with naked feet, it does seem to cure just about everything. There were who was it talking last week, they were talking about one of these machines that measure your chi and your all these things, and it was a Russian instrument that they'd created, and they put these athletes on it and everything. And when they found that and this is all, it makes me laugh every time I think about it. When they found anything that they found on this machine that was out of balance, they'd say, go out and stand on the ground for half an hour.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, it's a cure-all.
Yeah, you know. So it's great. I mean, it's, yeah, rubber cell, rubber pool.
Yeah. There are people in that documentary that we watched that had back problems even. And the one fellow there, he stated that it took care of that. He had back problems for, what do you say,
30 years.
So it's worth seeing that. And it's called grounding or earthing. I think Bonnie mentioned that. And there's just a couple more little hot points I have here while we're still on the mnemonic thing, and then maybe we could branch off into some of these other areas if you like. But I do want to state again that, you know, our purpose here is to alert everybody to these mnemonic circles that are on mass media, because through really deep research that we've done, we have discovered there's no doubt whatsoever that this is a massive form of mind control, and it's global. It's, you know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere where there's a screen. So even the smartphones, it's not just the television. In the movies, they're just everywhere. And as Bonnie said, heavy. In the news programs and in sports. And just a couple other items for people to watch out for. Everybody's, you know, a video producer these days. Everybody's got a YouTube channel, and they're making their own videos, and that's beautiful. It's great to be able to share all this information with each other. But one thing we're finding is that the free intro software, or even the stuff that you buy, but the software that's out there on the market for people to make their own videos and produce them, has these mnemonics heavily embedded in them. And so we like to just bring that up, you know, because a lot of the problem now is people who don't know any better hitting people with these mnemonics just because it's in the software that they created their video.
Oh, yeah, because it's a classic movie thing, isn't it, that 10,
right.
9, 8, 7, and the 3, 2, 1, a blank.
Yeah.
So you fill those in your own mind.
Sure, and that is...
That's a hypnotic thing, yeah.
Absolutely. Another thing we've been seeing that people could watch out for who actually do watch TV, and obviously, again, we recommend that everybody not participate in the TV, but one thing that we noticed when we were on vacation this last time, that they're doing something we're calling a haze filter, and the chemtrails, well, here in the States anyhow, I don't know, you know, everybody else where they're at, if it's so bad, but the chemtrails are really crazy here now, and we have noticed on certain days that they are pushing this chemical haze down to ground level, and it'll go for days and days and days, and it is definitely not fog or anything to do with the barometric pressure. This is chemical haze that we believe are the chemtrails down at ground level. And what happens when they do that is you can be standing, and we live out in the country as well, you can stand out and look across a field that isn't more than a couple hundred yards, and it'll be hazy on the tree line beyond you. So that tells you that you're standing in that same haze and breathing whatever that stuff is. And so we noticed on the television that they run this filter every once in a while. It's not, it's during the program. It's also during, commercial breaks. Just for a few seconds, all of a sudden it will get hazy. And we saw this in enough different places during vacation that we know it wasn't, you know, some type of mechanical error or anything, and it's on all the different channels. So we want people to be aware of that because we think they're running that filter momentarily for people to get subconsciously become used to seeing this haze when these chemtrails are down at ground level. So that's just a little tidbit there. And also, if it's okay with you, Jay, I'd like to just do something that I wish more people, when they do interviews, would do this because it helps the audience quite a bit to know where this information's coming from. So I just have a few people I'd like to mention, if that's all right with you. That
oh, absolutely. Websites, everything. Oh, you know, great. References is a great thing because,
sure.
Like I was saying before, our audience are very intelligent and up to speed. Lots of people download these, and we put them on YouTube, and even more people download them. And you know, the word is spreading. It seems slowly, but it's, you know, if you look at it, if you zoom out, it's a good start. So, on you go.
Okay, and this is just a very, very short list, but these are some of the main people that come to mind in relation to the research we did for these mnemonics in particular. Janice Barcelo, Fritz Springmeier, who has made, oh, geez, what, 11 or 12 books he has, yeah?
Yeah, all about the Illuminati and the mind control.
Yeah, how to create an undetectable mind control slave.
That's correct. Everybody has to read that to know exactly what we're talking about here. Our really good friends, Freeman and Jamie from FreemanTV.com. Dr. Curtis Duncan is doing research. It doesn't really have much to do with what we're talking about today as far as the mass media is concerned, but Dr. Curtis Duncan is the leading researcher in the feminization of the human male and how that's being perpetrated through thiolates and butylates, also known as BPAs and plastics. So we always recommend him. And Jay Parker, who I mentioned earlier, another really good friend of ours, Mark Passio, from whatonearthishappening.com, and he's a real mentor to everybody who is studying natural law, which is the natural way to start thinking when you become more conscious and start to understand that side of the spectrum. And just a few more real short ones here. Santos Bonacci, who I'm sure all of your listeners are already familiar with. Jordan Maxwell and Troy McLachlan. And that's our, once again, very short list of really crucial information, just great researchers in this field.
Excellent. I wish all my guests would do that.
Yeah.
That's very good. Like, where do you know this stuff from? Well,
there you go. Anybody can find out what we know.
Yeah.
You know, we're just happen to be very interested in this and also able to talk about it. So it worked out.
So that's how it's going these days. Things are working out, literally, in the same way that a splinter works its way out of your skin.
Yeah, exactly.
Working your way out. Bonnie.
We're all waking up.
Yeah.
So anything you want to talk about, we can talk further about this if you like, or if you wanted to branch off to some of the other topics you were speaking
well,
on.
Well. The first thing is a couple of questions in the chat room. One of them is, which was a long time ago, but still, we're just kind of building it up. Let me just see if I can wind back to it. And it was about the... Oh, yeah. What do you know about John Dee?
Yeah, John Dee. I've seen some research on that, and... John, to try and think of the other fellow's name who was his assistant and all the magic.
Dozy Beaky McIntosh. No.
John Dee, the magician.
Yeah.
It's a very long and strange story, but I think it's...
Edward Teller?
No.
The other guy. I talk about him. Tracy and I talk about him. He was connected with the... the whole Bacon.
Yes, there you go. That's right. Yes. Okay, so my take on it is anybody can do what they were up to. They just got somewhat, you know, after way after their death, famous. But, you know, what I think they were messing with is the same type of magic we're talking about here. You know, everything that came to them was, from what I've seen, and I don't know a whole lot about it, but from what I've seen, the information that came to them wasn't anything that anybody else cannot access by doing the same type of magic. And there's always spirits there that you can contact. And what happened to them, for instance, you know, they got messed with a lot by these spirits who would contact them. One thing in particular I remember is that a spirit told them that they needed to swap wives at one point and, you know, have relations with each other's wives. So to me, that's not positive at all, and it sounds very much like, you know, darker energy just messing with the human who's, you know, happened to figure out a way to make contact. And that's my take. I don't, you know, and I'm definitely didn't do any deep research on that at all.
And the sigil magic, there's no limit to, you know, how long the spell will last for the sigil magic. The sigil is, anybody can create a sigil. It doesn't have to be about a demon. It could just be an intention that you have. Say you just have the intention that you want to be happy. So you take a piece of paper and you would write, "I am happy." And then you look at the consonants and you want to cross off any repeating letters. You only want one of each letter. So each consonant, you know, make sure it's just one of each, and then you cross all the vowels out. And with the leftover letters, you would create a picture. And you want to work with this picture so your conscious mind is not going to recognize it anymore. And because it's really just for the subconscious. Then you take your image and you kind of put it aside for a couple of weeks and try to forget about it. Then you bring it out and you put it someplace that you will see it. And it's your subconscious mind that's going to see the sigil and have the intention, and it's going to manifest the intention. So there's no time limit to it or anything. You could keep the sigil up forever, you know, and it would last forever. It's like John said earlier with the Nike symbol. I mean, how long has that been around? And That's a very powerful sigil. Like, the whole world knows that one and gets that intention.
Right. And, you know, like we talked about before, Sandy Hook is a real good one because there were several examples we saw put out there into the slaves' world for them to manifest Sandy Hook ahead of time. For this level of magic that we're talking about, there is no time. It doesn't work like that. So, you know, when they say, you know, people who study this, the Illuminati and their, you know, so-called secret plans for humanity and all this, and they realize, wow, these people have been planning this for centuries, you know, when you see this stuff happen. It has an effect of seeming like that, but I think more of that is because of the way the humans view the dark magic as it unfolds.
Well, here's an example of some of the understanding of some of our listeners here. A friend who goes by the name of Seven, he says, he's a law expert. He's like intuitive about law. The sigil used against us every day is our names.
That's right, the name, or if you look up person in Black's Law Dictionary, you'll find that a person, and this is a word magic, a person is a corporation. And here in the United States, the enslavement began in 1933 with the introduction of the birth certificate. And by calling it a birth, they're talking about B-E-R-T-H, birth, because all of this revolves around maritime law and bringing the law of the sea onto the land and usurping natural or divine law for, you know, it's basically the temple are now, but it was, you know, it comes from Babylon.
Exactly. When I walked into court last year, I just walked in, I said in my head, I stand under galactic law. And they said, you do not understand. To which he replied, you do not understand. I said, that's true. And yeah. They said, do you plead guilty or not? I said, no, that's true. I didn't say yes, I wasn't guilty or not guilty, you see, because I didn't want to. Anyway, I was just trying to annoy them, really, I suppose.
Yeah.
to look like that bald-headed, long-haired hippie that I appear to be.
Yeah, you can actually mess with them pretty good if you know a few things about that. That's
man,
rather real.
I messed with the police. The two police who arrested me, or who took my car, their heads were messed with by a divine force. I felt like I had a beam of light shining down from the galaxy into my head, through my body when I was speaking to them, because I don't know where the calmness and the presence. That's what I can say. I was absolutely present when she was speaking to me. I wasn't scared at all. I was just totally present. I said, and it was like, I don't agree to you bullying me. That was basically my premise with them. And everything she said, I said, you know, you're trying to bully me, and da da da, and this is what that is. You know, we're confiscating your car. No, you're not. You're stealing it. No, we're not stealing it. We're confiscating. Well, stealing it without somebody's permission is stealing, isn't it? Taking with something out. Yeah. Well, you're stealing.
Yeah, they're pirates. That's what they're there for. Your friend is correct about the person, you know, the name, especially in Capitis Diminutio Maxima, which is to write the name in all capital letters, like you receive on your birth certificate, your driver's license, all your credit cards, your bank statements. That is the fictitious, it's known as a straw man. And it's not you. And when you know not to stand under that, like you're talking about, you had this divine knowing inside that you're a sovereign human being, and the way that this world is designed, or is, you know, in quotations, supposed to be, is the creator, and then humankind, and then government and all of the, you know, public servants, so to speak, below you. And that's what I think this consciousness that's happening with humanity is pushing back towards, because this is, when you start to wake up, this is one of the first things that a lot of people go right to, is the natural law, divine law. So keep going for your friend there that made that comment.
That's Seven. He's just come through a kind of a life changing moment where he's, you know, coming out of a large aneurysm in his heart. So he has, you know, we have so much love for him here. He's such a beautiful guy. Anyway, so meanwhile, James is asking the question, what are they trying to achieve by using the children from Disney in worldwide Monarch programming? So he knows about Monarch, he knows about the Mouseketeers.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Mouseketeers and the Disney programming and what are they trying to achieve? Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And again, the gentleman that we mentioned before too, I'll mention freemantv.com, because if you want to find out a whole bunch of information about that question there, that's a great place to go. What it looks like is that this Illuminati satanic network mind programs their slaves that are in the Hollywood business, and it's certainly not only in Disney. We're talking about a good percentage, not all, I wouldn't say, but a good percentage of the actors and actresses that are out there. Certainly, I would say the majority of the children coming up through the Disney, and especially, you know, the ones who are in the, what's that group again? The Mouseketeers, yeah. They all seem to have gone through the Monarch trauma-based mind control. And it's to get them to do their bidding. They're just basically robots. And if you look at these children, as they come up and get a little bit more of age, they go from, like, a good example is that Miley Cyrus.
Right.
You know, here's a child, they were actually showing everybody about the split personality, the dissociation, by having her be Miley Cyrus, and I forget the
Hannah
other,
Montana.
And Hannah Montana, yeah, be these two separate entities. And now look at her, there's a whole bunch of information that's come forward from some award show or something that she did. She actually had Mickey Mouse on her, on the front of her little skimpy, outfit there, and, you know, just acting depraved. And this is to, help with the mind control that's happening on the other end through the television, for these people who are in this also trance state, you might call it pseudo, mnemonic programming, who, the masses I'm talking about, who, these little children who are programmed to worship, like people like Hannah Montana or this Miley Cyrus. And, you know, and it's not just her, this is just the last one I heard about, but, you know, the, Britney Spears is another one. These are all set up to be idols, to, right, for people to idolize. The boys have theirs, I don't know, the Justin Bieber, I guess, it would be the ones that the boys would try to emulate and be like him. And so you have to have, you know, it's two sides of the coin here. You have to have the actors up there willing to perpetrate all of this behavior to get the masses to also mimic that behavior, and then you induce more of this dark Illuminati satanic reality. It's about shifting people's frequencies to a lower vibration. That's all it's about. It's really, that's it in a nutshell. And anything they can do when you're focused on meaningless, loveless sex. And Bonnie and I don't even use that word except for to communicate to other people who understand what that word is. This is putting you in a lower state. Now, you can make love with your partner who you love very much, and it can be a very beautiful and highly lifting and frequency lifting experience, but that's not what people are being taught. People are being taught to have loveless, careless, meaningless sex, and to worship that and to constantly think about that. And then also the violence plays a part in that as well. And all of this is to keep the vibration low.
Yeah, and we just did an interview with Randy Moggins at Off Planet Radio, and he was saying that on TV what he is seeing is this kind of death cult kind of thing going on.
Right.
Very morbid, and like more and more shows are about death and the human, yeah, the dead body, and
we
zombies.
Saw something too about the models that were pretending to be dead in the pictures and stuff. They were modeling with blood all around them, and, you know, yeah, there's a real, you know, they're melding the sex and the violence together now,
with death.
And again, which is completely reflected in the Illuminati satanic family's treatment of their own children, basically through Monarch trauma-based mind control. This is what they do. They mix that up in the people's heads too, bringing pleasure and then pain simultaneously to dissociate the individual's mind and break it up. So, yeah, good questions. Your audience there. They got great questions. And just before I lose my train of thought too, I will be studying the bacon connection there and the Dean thing a little bit more, because this is actually the second time we've been asked that question. So I will be researching that more in depth.
Yeah, I would recommend, as one of my references is Michael Tsarion, MTSARION. Yeah, just go to michaeltsarion.com. He's half Irish and half Indian. And he's got like these 6,000-year-old stories that come from the Indians, the Vedas and everything, and also the Irish legends and myths, you know, for want of better words. Go ahead. So yeah, he's a very interesting scholar. He you need to set aside quite a bit of time, because it's a big story. It goes back and it spreads out, and it is like, it's excellent stuff.
Beautiful.
Okay, here's another one. Yes, what about programming being used through films like Twilight, basically turning what is good and right on its head? Indeed, there's a, you know, this is, I don't like Twilight. It glamorizes vampirism. Oh, he's a vegetarian. I was. It's a love story. Sorry.
Well, we're only. You know, we've never seen that show, but we are aware that it exists and that it's about vampires. And Bonnie brought that up before, the vampirism. And yeah, it's definitely what it's all about. They're definitely twisting the psyche of everybody to just make the worst situation completely acceptable. That's what it does in the end. That's why people are able to tolerate this behavior and the way people are acting right now. And
kids are being brought up on the television now. It's very sad.
It's normal to them, and that is really scary to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
kids are just children. They're just emulating what they see on TV.
Right. It's just really important to understand. I mean, if you can just look at even part of the information we have here and research it for yourself so that you know that it's the truth, you know, for yourself. We don't want people to believe. We want people to know. And there can be no doubt that the television and mass media as a whole is, there's no doubt that it's a weapon. It's being used against humanity to bring them into try to keep them in a lower state of consciousness. And of course, it's working on a lot of people, and that's the worst part about all of this. We're not talking about 20% of the human population on the earth watching TV. Everybody knows that almost everybody has a TV. You know, even the poorest villages out there, you can go to some shack in the middle of the village and they'll have a TV set. So, you know, that's there. Everybody's got these stupid phones that they call the smartphone. And, you know, here in the States, it's really, really bad. We know that it's bad in Europe, too. You can watch these people. Here's the thing. The human body is a container. It contains your spirit. It contains your spiritual embodiment, your spiritual blueprint, basically, of your essence of who you are. And what's happening is they're attaching to people through these mnemonics, this demonic energy. You can say that they're possessing people's souls, if you want to put it in that kind of terminology. And what happens is that the consciousness of a human being, and it's not just through the mnemonic programming, but also, like Bonnie was talking about, through the frequencies as well, being pulsed at you.
Fantastic.
They're pushing the consciousness of the human beings out. And what happens is when you push enough of the consciousness out of the human container, and you have nothing but demonic energy left in that container. We have a word for that, and it is coming up in mainstream media big time, and it's their way of saying that this is what they're doing to you, and that word is zombie. Okay, now we are seeing this happen right in front of our faces. This is what people are essentially being turned into. When you no longer live rooted in reality, and your consciousness is no longer contained inside of you, and you have demonic energies attached to you because you've been subjecting yourself through your own free will to this mind control, that's what they're turning people into. So, I mean, those are serious words, and I hope people will consider what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, like I say, our growing audience is becoming well aware of these energies and all the input. You know, your show's, this has been a wonderful conversation, Michael and Bonnie. John and Bonnie. I just tuned in. I've mentioned Michael Cesarian, and they said in the chat, "Who Michael? Who? Well, you know, how do you spell that? You know, how was it? What was that? How did they put it? I can't remember. Yeah. Anyway, as I put on his website, the front page comes up. What does it say? Psychic vampirism: the roots of evil exposed.
There you go.
Yeah, what can we say? You know, he's my man. I want to get him. You know, we've also, Tracy was also saying Twilight, this vampire show, gave people seizures, the birth scene. So there must have been some, you know, heavy-duty stuff going on there. I haven't seen that.
We also had seizures with the children in Japan watching one of those cartoons, if you'll recall.
Pokemon,
yeah, a while back.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Whew. So, how are we doing? So, we're coming to the end of the show, so I want you to talk about the things that are coming out soon. You know, have you got any new productions coming out?
Yeah, actually, we just recorded for David Icke's The People's Voice. And that's going to be coming out tentatively the 25th. There's a little bit of confusion about that exact date when they're actually going to start up. I'm sure you've heard of The People's Voice by now.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's going to be huge. And so we encourage everybody to, you know, keep checking and stay in tune. And once we do have the release date for that, we will definitely let everybody know on our website as well. But that's going to be pretty big.
And at Kickstarter.com, we'll have our Faraday Cage project up there pretty soon.
So is there a central point where people can go? You've got a website, haven't you?
Yeah, awakenvideo.org is our main website, and that's where we post all this information about all the things we're talking about today and where we have our documentary that we really encourage everybody to watch called Global Epidemic Exposed, Television Sigil Magic. And Bonnie also has a website.
Yeah, I have a website. It's called alienabductionhelp.com. And that is for alien abductees and contactees. I have a forum there where everybody talks to each other about their experiences. It doesn't have to be directly related to aliens. It could just be metaphysical things, you know, bizarre things that you just want to try to figure out. So we talk about it and try to figure it out together. And we've also got some articles written by abductees. And I actually used to draw a cartoon strip for UFO Magazine. And I've got some of those comics up there. It was just a silly cartoon about aliens and the secret government. And the idea was that the aliens were giving the secret government technology in exchange for government cheese, which is, you know, government cheese is like something that welfare recipients used to get along with their peanut butter and bread and cereal and stuff like that. But yeah, it's kind of a fun website. It has kind of a sense of humor about the whole thing. But at the forum, we have a lot of serious talk about alien abduction and the good and bad and the military abductions and all that.
That's right. And we also want to make sure that your audience knows, and we'd like to say this whenever it's possible, that it's really important, we feel, to know what's happening in this reality and to realize, you know, what this Illuminati satanic network is up to, what they're perpetrating, but not to focus on that or even to view it in a fear base. But rather approach it from love in your heart. And we just want to make sure that we say to all of your audience that all of the information that we're revealing here to everybody is coming from love from both of us, because we love all of our brothers and sisters out there, and we want everybody to wake up and do something positive for themselves to change their life and raise their consciousness too. And so we want, you know, this is some pretty dark information, but we just want to be very clear that it does not come from a fear base. It comes from love and the wanting of our brothers and sisters to wake up.
Yeah, wake up.
So, once again, your website is awakenvideo.org, not .com, .org. And I thank you very much for coming on. If you feel that you need to discuss things of a more esoteric nature, a little more advanced nature, do feel free to contact me again, and I'll welcome you back in. We've had a fascinating conversation. The audience have loved it. I've loved it. It's been a most excellent time. So, with that, I'd like to thank everybody for participating. This has been Ever Beyond. Beyond.